B-Pod Studios.
Now. Sports talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zulak and Bertrand.
We're sports show radio hosts.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Come on, Felger.
Weekend.
It's like glorified G. Like, we heard too much of it. This song gets better as it goes on.
Yeah, we only usually hear the beginning. What's up? How was your weekend?
Same. Try to go outside, go inside. Go outside, go inside. Yeah, light a fire outside, cook some steaks.
Yeah, it's cold.
Go
this
inside,
weekend,
cook some spaghetti.
Which sucked.
Yeah.
All right.
How was your weekend?
Yeah, it was fine. It was fine.
How you doing, Artie?
Artie, you
real,
good?
Real good. Real good.
Real good. All right. Lots to get to.
Nice.
Lots to get to.
Is there?
There is.
Sure
there is. I think we've still got stuff. We've still got stuff going on. So I think we're good. Including this report from Seth Wickersham, who I know everyone in New England loves. You're Seth Wickersham. You say, that's a modern-day Morrow right there, Seth Wickersham. He's got a new article on Tom Brady and his departure, how Brady became a Buck, and all the signs we missed along the way. T-Bone told me a couple minutes ago that there are people that are already crapping on the newest Wickersham story. So on the Brady-Belichick relationship, let me read you this part, because I think this is part of new information about Brady and Bill. Brady made it clear he was playing football until his mid-40s. He preferred to sign a deal to ensure that he retired a Patriot. But if the team refused, he was fine moving on. He wanted clarity. He met with Belichick, and the meeting ended with a blow-up, a source said. He met with Kraft. He got mixed signals. Team president Jonathan Kraft told NFL Network in January of 2018 that Brady had earned the right to decide when he wanted to stop playing for the team. On the other hand, that right never came in the form of a contract extension, at least not one that Brady felt would last the rest of his career. There was a blow-up, in quotes, according to a source, blow-up between Brady and Belichick.
Like, what date?
So the way I read it was that it had happened in 2017.
Yeah, so I think this is part of that, whatever, the palace queue or whatever the hell you want to call it, where they talked about, and Kraft, and I think he and Jonathan addressed this during the Super Bowl week in Minnesota, right? That it's about checking egos. So that tells me it dates it prior to that. And we all thought that they buried...
Yes, prior to January of 2018. It was prior to Jonathan saying that he had earned the right.
And everybody thought everybody was past this, right? We all buried our, you know, our differences, and we're going to move forward, and we all understand that we all need each other. And then here we are. I still can't believe
we got breaking news?
We have breaking news.
Okay.
This is breaking sports news.
Powered by Valvoline Instant Oil Change.
On 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Trying to get the official announcement here, but Tom Morgan, our producer, tells me Charlie Baker's announcement today. He is announcing the closure of all non-essential businesses in Massachusetts starting tomorrow until April 7th. Do I have that correct, Tom?
Yes, you do. Looks like stay-at-home order starting Tuesday, March 24th at noon.
Does that mean us?
I don't know.
Schmatz!
I don't know anymore.
I don't know. All right, so Charlie Baker is doing I'm guessing this is his daily address. It's happening a little earlier than it typically does. But the governor of Massachusetts, according to him, and we'll obviously do our best to get the sound of that, what exactly it is he said, but he has ordered the Closure of all non-essential businesses. That will start tomorrow, and it will last until April 7th. That was just announced. So that will be a two-week closure of all non-essential businesses starting tomorrow in Massachusetts. This is obviously something that is changing by the day, so.
Sure.
And it's sort of the parameters and how to act, and I think government officials are changing how they view things by the day. It was only a week ago that there was a debate about whether or not schools should be closed, and now a week later, to sort of give you an idea of how much things have changed, yeah. We're at the point where we are closing everything.
And there's certain towns, too, like Provincetown, taking it into their own hands, shutting, shelter in place. So, once towns start to do this, I mean, what is the governor's choice here? I mean, you've got to do this. We thought it was imminent, right? Like, it could happen any minute.
But that's, this is about non-essential businesses. I don't, okay.
It kind of speaks for itself, right?
Okay, he has issued what is a stay-at-home advisory until April 7th.
Guess what's coming next?
I don't think that's, at this point, curfews or you can't go out and drive somewhere. I don't think that has happened.
No.
But it could.
Yes.
Follow the pattern.
It's happened elsewhere.
Did everyone see the collection of Italian mayors on social media over the weekend?
I missed that video.
Okay. So
I've seen some videos out of Italy, but not that one.
It doesn't do us any good to play it because it's all in Italian.
Oh.
But it is a collection of videos of them giving addresses, yelling at people to stay in their homes, and also them out on the streets yelling at people who are just walking on the streets, telling people to go home, go inside, and stay there.
Did you hear Cuomo? Like, what is it that you aren't, what am I not telling you? What do you not understand? Like, New York had the part, people were packing parks yesterday, walking dogs, just doing their thing. Like, what don't you understand?
The essential businesses, according to what Tom just told me in my ear, will be defined as pharmacies, grocery stores, and gas. That's what we've got. Is that just that it was highlighted that those will remain open, or is it possible that those are the only essential businesses during this?
Just reading a tweet here from Ted Daniel. He says, Governor Baker just ordered all non-essential businesses to close by Tuesday at noon. Pharmacies, grocery, gas, etc. will stay open. Order until at least April 7th.
Does Target, serious question, does Target classify as a grocery store? Like, will they be allowed to remain open? Because you have part food.
Yeah, I don't know the answer.
I mean,
I don't know how they will.
We're going to need more clarification, right? Some places that actually sell food, is that going to, qualify as a grocery store? Even convenience stores?
I don't know the answer.
Gas station / convenience stores. I mean, here we are.
Teddy Thompson of WCVB says this is not a shelter in place. However, people are urged to stay at home and avoid non-essential activities. You can still go to the grocery store, pharmacy, and take a walk.
Well,
yes,
that sounds like a whole day right there.
Yes, Target stays open.
I wonder if stores like that will...
According to who?
The governor just texted him. No, I'm kidding.
Someone that does work at Target. Yes, they've been told they will stay open because of the groceries.
I wonder if stores like that will close the sections that are not grocery-related.
And count people coming in. Watch that happen. Yeah, here we are.
Here we are.
Scares the hell out of you. Yeah.
All right, so that's the breaking news. Governor Baker has said that starting tomorrow at noon, all non-essential businesses will close. They will remain closed until at least April 7th. It's at least 2 weeks that they will be closed. Grocery stores, pharmacies, gas stations will remain open, will be allowed to remain open starting tomorrow at noon. All other businesses, it appears, will be asked to shut down. According to his emergency order, all non-essential businesses will close their physical workplaces to both the public and workers. According to Baker, that just happened a couple of minutes ago. We could talk about that, how it's going to impact things. And also, we are going to get to Wickersham today.
Yes, we will.
But if something like this breaks, we obviously want to deliver that news to you. And we will. If anything else develops as it relates to this, we'll let you know today. Phone number 617-779-0985. We'll get back to Wickersham next.
Zoe and Beetle in the office.
It's like a sweater without nipple covers.
In the car.
You smell bacon?
In the truck.
I'm definitely not stupid, Harvey.
Getting you through your work day on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Six one seven 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 nine zero ninety eight five, the phone number. To jump back into that Wickersham story,
yeah,
that posted. He recaps a lot of what he had written about previously, about the back and forth relationship with Belichick and with Brady. And then he writes about, again, late 2017, at some point during the 2017 season, that the issue between Brady and Belichick then was the same that it is right now, or was just a few weeks ago, and that is that Brady wanted a contract extension. And as he wrote, Brady made it clear that he was playing football until his mid-40s. He preferred a deal to ensure that he retired a Patriot, but if the team refused, he was fine moving on. So he wanted clarity in 2017. 3 years ago.
Yeah.
This was after he had come back 28-3 against the Falcons and was in the middle of winning the league's MVP award.
Yeah. And I actually came on air and I said, expect a 2-year extension for the quarterback, because I know pretty much that thing was going to happen, right? You thought, boy, what more can Brady do for this team? Or, you know, 28-3, he was going to get the extension, finish a Patriot. You know, and this is past Garoppolo too. You know, I think the Garoppolo thing is probably the tipping point where they had the big blow up, right? I don't know what to believe as far as the San Francisco stuff, too.
Which means that Brady was trying to tack on two, just so everyone follows.
I mean,
he was trying to tack on two additional years back in 2017.
He was
which
yes.
would have been this coming season, 2020,
correct.
And also 2021.
Correct, to retire a Patriot.
Just so everyone understands that. It's the same timeline as what he just signed with Tampa Bay.
Right.
He was trying to tack on 2 years. He was trying to do it almost 3 years ago, so two-plus seasons ago. A little over 2 years ago,
yeah.
We'll say. Okay. So, 2 years ago, he didn't get it, and it stuck with him.
Yeah,
and according to this story, he met with Belichick, and the meeting ended with a blow-up. That was a blow-up about his contract status with the team that happened in the middle of him having an MVP season.
And he understands it, too, does Brady. You understand the landscape of the league. He's seen friends come and go here. He knows his age. And you could just see it. You could see the way this thing was playing out.
I wonder if that blow up happened after the trade of Jimmy Garoppolo.
If Brady got wind that you were really trying to deal me, you know, instead of Garoppolo, if the discussions were really, you know, trade Jimmy, you know, why don't you take Tom?
Right. There was a report last week that they had tried to trade Brady.
Yeah. See, it's.
And it was.
You're getting all this stuff he said,
something
she said.
Bill
right.
considered.
Right. And okay. I could see that being the one that really where they would piss Tom off. Like, really? You're trying to trade me? And it was that point, really, where Brady was carrying that team at the beginning of the year. Remember? He had a hell of a year, that first part. And it's almost like, okay, time ran out there at Halloween where Belichick had to make this deal. And I think maybe Bill was gambling on Tom not playing that well, but Tom was playing well through 8 games. And then gun to the head, you know, he had to trade Jimmy. And maybe that's where Kraft stepped in. I don't know.
But I think what this story does, and I think my biggest takeaway from reading it, you can read it at ESPN.com, Seth Wickersham on why Brady left. A lot of it is some rehashing of what he's previously reported or others have previously reported, but it sort of lays out the timeline for you. And it sort of leaves you with the impression, if you didn't think this already, Brady was pissed about not getting that contract extension 2 years ago, and he never let it go. He never let it go. And he was not going to let it go until Bill reversed course from where he was in that blow-up, we'll say,
right.
2 seasons ago.
See, really? And Bill's so damn good in internalizing things, too. And you look at it, and I for 2 days over this past week, I sit there, and I still can't believe he's gone. But now I'm starting to really believe that both maybe agreed that this split is good for both of us.
Another part of this was on last season. It wasn't fun for Brady, and he didn't feel appreciated. In the words of a confidant, he was like, quote, why am I doing this?
Well, this past year? Yes. I mean, just look at him.
The Patriots' defense was winning games, but the offense was stagnant. This part is where I think there's news. This is a new detail that I have not seen anyone else have. Brady told friends that he felt Belichick had taken the offense for granted because of how good it had been for so long. He felt that Bill was taking the offense for granted. Brady told NBC's Al Michaels that he was, quote, the most miserable 8-0 quarterback in the NFL.
Right, and that's when Collinsworth said, I can't believe we didn't go on air with that, you know, or run part of that. Yeah.
So Brady, though, felt like Bill had taken the offense for granted because the offense had just been good with Brady for so long. And, you know, that's human nature. This is so believable it's human nature. You're pissed at somebody. You got to work with them.
Right.
And now you're going to get annoyed at them and aggravated with every little thing that you could perceive as them not doing right by you. So for Brady, that was, look at these receivers. Look at these guys. I'm throwing the ball to Jacoby Myers because we were scrambling.
Brady knew
to get Josh Gordon a year ago, yep. And we scrambled to get Antonio Brown this year, and now neither
desperate.
One of those guys are here,
yeah.
And I'm dealing with because Bill didn't put the right guys around me. And Bill just takes this offense for granted, and he just thinks that because I'm here, that it's been so good that I'll just figure it out for him. Well, I don't want to do it anymore. I'm sick of doing that. Just put good players around me.
I wonder where McDaniels falls in all this, too. Like, and you see some of the reports that maybe there was friction between Tom
McDaniels
and McDaniels.
Is McDaniels absent from this story? I didn't feel like I got enough McDaniels in the Wickersham story.
Because he's the one that puts it all together, right? Regardless of what the pieces are. You know, Josh is one of the best coordinators in the league. Now,
I just did a search for McDaniels in this story. Yeah. I don't think there's a single mention of him in this story. Gee, that's funny. You were saying?
It's just, you know, you look at it and say, okay, they grossly...
wonder if Wickersham knows McDaniels. Anyway, sorry.
Stop. No, I mean, they grossly mismanaged the tight end position, right? You let the Gronkowski thing carry over too much to the point where, okay, so Bill drafted him a left tackle. Bill drafted him a receiver in the first round. So from the team aspect of it, hey, we've used two first-round picks. Our last two first-round picks were based on offense. So we have tried to put people around you. You still have James White. You still have Rex Burkhead. You lose your center. You lose your fullback. There's almost, it was like the perfect storm of things to go wrong that happened at the exact same time that basically killed this offense. And he knew it. He knew it in camp.
Here's something that we'll never know. Maybe Bill knew it too.
Bill knew it. Bill's the one who went out and got Antonio Brown.
Maybe Bill's like, yeah, you know what, you're right. Our receivers aren't very good. No, you're right.
And then you get Antonio Brown for 2 weeks and you think, this is like night and day from the other guys I've been thrown to.
You know that I love Tom Brady, and I think he's the greatest. But maybe Bill was saying the same thing Tom was saying. Tom, these receivers aren't good. I know. We've hit a bad string of luck here on drafting guys, whether it be Malcolm Mitchell and his injuries, or it's some of our free agent. Yeah, a little desperation. They haven't worked out with Gordon and Antonio Brown. I'm sorry. Like, you know, you're right. But I just need you to go out and do the best job you can do, and I'm going to try and coach up this defense to where we can be the best possible team. You have to wonder if Brady was at his very best last year when feeling miserable and even admitting it to Al Michaels. Don't you have to question that and wonder that?
You got to question that, and you also got to question what injuries was he dealing with, too.
Because
Bill said, there's times where Tom just wasn't there, and Stid went in and... you know, did a good job for us during the week. I mean, there's a little bit of everything into this. There really is. It's like, where's the blame pie go?
I also wonder, like, where did the sourcing on some of the stuff come from? We did this the first time around on Wickersham. Who's this story make look good, bad, etc.? Does it make anybody look good? Does anybody look good in this?
No, they all look like they're at fault for not making this happen. You know, and it just, I know they... they put the ad out, did the Kraft family and the organization down in the Tampa Times or Tampa Tribune, you know, thanking Tom, you know, hey, take care of him. You've got a great one. Now, how'd you let the great one go? How did this not finish here? And that's the thing. I couldn't watch a snap of the stuff that ESPN was running over the weekend. Couldn't do it yet.
Oh, I did.
You did.
It was miraculous.
Yeah. It's almost like I could.
I watched yesterday. I got sucked right into Super Bowl 38 and 39.
I'm not doing it.
I was texting you guys.
I know. I'm not responding. I'm not doing it.
I hope you DVR'd. Not only that, Channel 4 on Sports Final last night did a half-hour-long production looking back at everything.
I texted them. It's too early.
Commercial free.
It's too early. It's too raw. The wound's still open.
Commercial free over there. What, you didn't want to check in on any of that? You didn't like that?
Can't do it yet.
I did enjoy Brady's.
I can't do it yet.
Brady's mom texted him yesterday and said, I think ESPN thinks you retired.
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty good. Yeah, oh, it was good. Jim Murphy over at Channel 4.
Murph's the best putting stuff together.
Jim Murphy put together a 30-minute montage. All the Super Bowls were in there. Brady, when he was young, it was good stuff. Good. I'm watching all of it. But I think, you know, I think it was, when you read this, I think we were maybe reaching an inevitable point with Brady.
It feels like it's pissed at
Bill from 2 years ago. Yep, he was still upset. He was not happy with the response in 2017, and he was not going to give them any extra chances to make it right.
I wonder.
And by the way, they didn't want to make it right. They didn't want to keep him.
Yeah,
Bill didn't even give him an offer. Maybe Bill was holding a grudge over the blow up 2 years ago too. It's hard to say.
And you just wonder how relieved Brady was leaving Kraft's house when he walked out that door.
But
like, what was going through his head?
This was a breakup of Brady and Belichick.
I agree.
That's what this was.
I don't think the owner's devastated about it. I just think that they wanted, you know, obviously wanted him to retire as a Patriot. He is the Patriot brand. He helped build this.
All right, you mentioned the ad in the Tampa Times. Yeah. We'll get to that. And also the news yesterday, Brian Hoyer coming back for another tour of duty.
Called it.
What's that mean? We'll talk about it next.
First, our introduction.
Zolak, Bertrand.
Double whammy.
Zolak and Bertrand. Continues 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Big news yesterday, Brian Hoyer making a return to the Patriots for the third time. Third tour of duty for Hoyer. What do you make of that, Zill?
I mean, if Stidham's the guy, and I think Stidham's going to be the guy, I think this makes sense because look at what we're dealing with right now. You know, there's uncertainty whether we may even have a football season if this thing continues. We have no clue what direction this virus is heading in. So you're bringing in a quarterback that – everybody knows on the team that has institutional knowledge of the offense, knows the offense inside and out, had a pretty damn good preseason that I think they actually intended to release and bring back at some point to save money. I think they wanted Hoyer back at the beginning of the year. I didn't think they really wanted a role with two guys. And I think that, you know, Indy came in and gave him an offer that he couldn't refuse, and he had to go there. But I think this is a smart thing because I don't really think he's going to be the guy. I know they said it's an open competition, and that's why he signed this. And I know his agent, Joe Linta, said, you know, maybe he could have gotten $5 or $6 million elsewhere. But the fact that, you know, he was offered the ability to compete for the starting job.
Wait. He said had he been offered $5 or $6 million elsewhere.
Correct.
To our knowledge, no one was offering him $5 or $6 million.
But I think he's making the point that, hey, this is a real competition. Then you put it out there like that, then he was told, hey, you can compete for the job. And I think it's smart of Bill because it also gives Stidham a little kick in the ass that, okay, you know Brian can play. Brian can function. I mean, Brian can function in an offense. And I'm not saying he's going to carry you and he's going to take you to the Super Bowl.
I'm not sure that he can. So
I mean, he did with the Texans and helped them get to the playoffs.
You might expect me to.
I'm talking emergence. This is a good guy to have in a pinch.
To laugh about Hoyer coming back because, you know, I don't care.
I know your thoughts on Hoyer.
Oh, my God. But I actually don't hate it. And I'll tell you why. So they may have told Brian Hoyer he's competing for the job. You know what that got him? You know what that got the Patriots by telling Brian Hoyer you're going to compete for the job? They got him for $1 million.
Yeah, like I told Hardy, a joke during the headline there.
They got him for a bargain because they've got the guy convinced that he's going to compete for the job. Yeah. I've got news for Brian Hoyer. You're not going to compete for the job. You're the backup quarterback.
That's the way I saw
this move yesterday, and I said, there it is. Stidham's the guy.
Yeah.
Stidham is the guy.
First thing
they're
I thought.
Going with Stidham.
First thing I
That's
thought.
The first thing I thought. It for
Even
me.
Even if he's terrible in camp, if he's awful and it becomes obvious that he can't play the position.
Yeah, who's the other guy? He's awful and terrible and obviously can't play the position. In fact, he's been stealing money from NFL teams for a decade now. It's great. It's a great scam he's running.
How many teams is this now he's been on? It's eight, right?
So,
all right, less terrible.
He might be terrible. He might be more terrible than Brian Hoyer. But do you know what happens when you play a guy? Sometimes they get better. And there is value in playing Jarrett Stidham. There is zero value in playing Brian Hoyer. You're going to find out. Yes, maybe Jarrett Stidham sucks in one particular game. Maybe he's great in another. Maybe he rides the roller coaster of being a young, inexperienced quarterback. But do you know what happens by the end of that roller coaster ride? You've got experience under your belt, yeah, and you're better for it moving forward.
They're going to coach his ass up and they're going to roll with
and
him.
And, Hardy, I don't think they'd make that move and that decision internally if they thought he sucked. And they get to see him more than any of us do. I'm not basing that on preseason games. Yeah. My God, the analysis, I know, listen, we've got very little sports to talk about, write about, etc. right now. But the analysis of Stidham's preseason performances of last summer do... I'm sorry, it just doesn't do any good for me. Like, what are we doing here?
I think it's ridiculous fluff. I do.
It's stupid.
I do. And I understand you got to write and you got to put content out. And maybe some people are telling you to do it. But I mean,
he might be great. Listen, the kid might be absolutely great. I would not base that on preseason performances of a year ago.
I think it's as simple.
I've
said it multiple times. The kid handled about as exotic a offense as you could run in the preseason for a rookie. And I said it during the damn broadcast. I'm like, this is pretty good.
How much would that change, though, if they were tailoring things for him? If they went into it, even if they don't tell Hoyer or tell the team, say, hey, guys, this is a competition. But while they're keeping that competition going, they are tailoring things and tweaking things to fit Jarrett Stidham's style of play.
And this is where if he could spin it up the hash and McDaniel sees that, you're going to run more verticals up the hash. You're going to be able to combo things with Edelman. I heard this stuff, too. Like, you're going to trade Edelman. No, you're not going to trade Edelman to Tampa. Edelman's still going to be the cog of this offense.
So my thought is,
get him a tight end. You block him up.
You just acquired a backup quarterback for $1 million. Do you know what this guy is great at?
Studying.
He's a great coach.
He helps. How about go back to the
Rams
stuff.
When Brian Hoyer's football career is over, he could absolutely be a coach.
All you have to do is go back post-Rams Super Bowl and listen to how they talked about stuff that he picked up and helped them. I mean, that stuff you don't. You bring in another guy, another veteran. What are you going to do? You're going to sit in a room with him. You got to teach him the whole offense.
I bet Hoyer is better at coaching quarterbacks than he is at being a quarterback.
Some guys are like that.
Yeah, most coaches. Most of them weren't great players.
Yeah.
But they're Bill Belichick.
Bill Parcells.
Doesn't have a history of being a great football player. Yeah. He has a history of being a great football coach. And some guys, yeah, they dabbled in playing a little bit, like Brian Hoyer does.
Yeah.
So a backup quarterback for $1 million that knows the offense and the system and the program in New England inside and out? Yeah, tell him he's going to compete. Sure, yes. Hey, Brian, we want you to come in here and compete for the job. They could sell him on that idea.
And who ran all the offseason
stuff
when Brady was gone? It was Hoyer.
Stidham's the guy.
Yeah,
Stidham's the guy. That's what this tells me.
I totally agree with you on that.
And I don't hate it.
It's actually a smart pickup.
We
if,
said this
if he's the backup.
Months ago, we said if Brady does go through with leaving.
Have you looked at
I would rather take Stidham than Andy freaking Dalton.
Have you looked at the money the guys like Chase Daniel make? Like the $6 million, $7 million backup quarterbacks that are paid in this league? The amount of money the Indianapolis Colts paid Brian Hoyer to go there after they paid Brissett? And now you're paying Brissett and you're going to keep him and then you're bringing Phillip Rivers in? This is a good deal. I mean, for the money, this is stuff you jump on. This is simple. This is a guy. It's basically a Band-Aid if something bad happens to Stidham. Or to what you said, if Stidham has a rut or if he has a bad game or two. You throw him in there to mix it up. It's smart. You block up. You're getting your center back. You franchise Tooney. You're getting your fullback back. They're going to run the damn ball. And they're going to run play action with this kid. And they're going to coach up defense, like you said. Look at the defensive pickups they've had. You bolster your secondary. The front's going to have to shake it up a little bit. But they're going to coach their ass off and go out and play with this kid and see what happens.
We will get to your calls coming up. Also, Zoe had a thought on the ad that was in the paper down in Tampa.
Yeah.
An ad that was taken out by the Crafts and the Patriots wishing Tom Brady well in Tampa. We'll get to that in your calls next.
Everybody, it's the moment you've been waiting for.
Hot takes.
Well, you can clearly see there's a gap when the tip digs in and then boom, it pops up.
Oh, yeah. Zoe and Beto.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
I do want to let you know that Beasley Media Group is committed to serving the community and helping local businesses during this time. If you're a business owner facing difficulty, you can attend a free 30-minute webinar, Crisis Management for Local Businesses. It's presented by Beasley Media Group, full of actionable insights, timely advice, and relevant data. They're critical data points to ensure your business to not only endure these difficulties, but to emerge stronger when they're over. If you want to register, just go to 98.5thesportshub.com and search for Crisis Management for Local Businesses. They'll be running a 30-minute webinar, Crisis Management for Local Businesses. Obviously, the news for businesses got worse today with Charlie Baker announcing that starting tomorrow, non-essential businesses will be closed for at least 2 weeks. And they are advising people to stay at home. Essential businesses such as grocery stores, pharmacies, and gas stations will be allowed to remain open. But that sounds like that's about it. Yeah. So that is the latest, as it was announced earlier in the hour. Yesterday, Tampa Bay Times printed an ad of Tom Brady. And it was a thank you note from the Patriots to Tom Brady. And it wished him well. What'd you make of it, Zoe?
It's like the replays of the Super Bowls. Like I can't. It's still so fresh that I couldn't watch yesterday. And then you see this and understand why they did it. But it's like at the end of it, you know, he's the greatest of all time. Tampa, take care of him. You're getting a great one. Like how did you not let this guy or make this guy finish a Patriot? And it was like salt in the wound. That's the way it felt. You know, you see this, and it's like Tampa's getting this guy. Tampa, like the Tampa freaking Bay Buccaneers are getting Tom Brady. You know, and then you see stuff from Jason Light after, like, you know, I'm going to be vacationing up in Massachusetts. People aren't going to like me too much, but, yeah, we pulled this sucker off. And then you hear more stuff that, God, Brady interviewed them, or he pitched them, and the amount of detail that he went through and talked with Arians and Light over the team and, I don't know. There's so much from this, but this is like nailing a coffin. That one, that's finality. That's the one that sticks with you. Like I understand why they did it, but did you have to do it? If that makes any sense.
No, I'm confused.
Should it have been done local? Why are you doing it in Tampa?
I could see that.
You know what I mean? Like every time premier athlete leaves here from one of your organizations. Somebody takes out an ad, whether in the Globe, whether in the Herald.
They didn't have to do this. No. They made their statements. Robert Kraft made a statement. Bill Belichick made a statement. Josh McDaniels made a statement. Tom Brady made his statement. Now, this doesn't offend my sensibilities one way or the other.
That's how I feel. Like, I don't feel anything about it.
But all it's going to do is irk some people, and it is going to rub some people the wrong way. Just a tiny word or phrase, something in there, unnecessary, right?
We didn't really want to part with it, but we had to part with it. It's what we keep, you know.
It's Daryl Hall telling John Oates' new audience, hey, buy his record, go to his shows, he's going to be great. And meanwhile, all the people who are a fan of your band are like, why are you doing this? Why are you acting like, you know, everybody loves each other? What? This is not an accurate portrayal of the feelings right now. I really don't. I don't think from either side.
It feels like it was done because you had to do it.
This is John Oates, by the way.
Does that make sense? I mean, I don't know how to describe it. It feels, yeah.
Well, I
this
think
is, this is the end.
I think it accurately reflects ownership's thoughts on this.
It's classy. I mean, that's the way we want them. I wanted him. Robert has said that.
Listen, I think
times.
The spin last week was really unfortunate and should not have happened. The spin and the trying to pin it on Brady. But do you believe that ownership is upset about Tom Brady being in Tampa? I do.
Yes.
I believe they're upset.
Yeah.
I believe that they,
yes. Yeah.
They are not enjoying this one
game. If you've followed this team and you've rooted for this team and you've been a Brady guy and you've been a Kraft guy and you've defended every move they've made, whether through Deflategate, whether through Spygate, whether through anything they've ever been through, and you feel like you know ownership. You know ownership looks at this guy differently. This guy is the brand. You think you ever want to part with the brand, the guy that helped make you or made you? And, hey, ownership's done a great job here. But, damn, this guy should have finished a Patriot. That's it. That's
not in Bill Belichick's eyes.
No.
Not in his mind.
That's what makes him a great coach, and that's where that separation.
Bill doesn't believe that. Bill disagrees, and he's the guy who was charged with making the decision, which is why it's probably hard for ownership because they know what the right move is, and they did the right thing. They left it up to Bill.
And this is the
that's
kill.
The right thing to do, but it sucks
finish
when
it.
He makes the decision that you don't like.
This is the killer because you look at him as like the way you view Breeze. Breeze has had two of these contracts, two $50 million guaranteed deals. Boom, boom. And it came down again this week. There it is this weekend. Drew Breeze signs with the Saints. 2 years, $50 million. Right there, bang. Why couldn't you have done that? Why couldn't you give him the extension?
Because it is not at all important for Bill Belichick for Tom Brady to finish his career with the Patriots.
Does he help you win games?
His next contract, this contract that Brady signed, was not about winning games or anything. For Brady, he wanted something that could conceivably, and I don't think he signs another deal after this. I'm
with you on that.
I think he wanted a contract to finish his career. And Belichick looks at it and says, why would I possibly care about where you finish your career? That's got nothing to do with winning the most games this season and the season after and the season after and the season after. I'm looking at, like we always have, 5 years out. So where you finish your career matters not to me in the slightest.
So we got the statements the other day, and then the Crafts follow up with this secondary statement in the Tampa Bay Times, right? Because I think it's genuine. I think that they are going to miss Tom Brady. They miss TB12. They're sad about it.
You think he's losing sleep? I can't tease.
Bill followed up his statement, I think, in the Seth Wickersham update, which says that in the Super Bowl against the Rams, he hit Rob Gronkowski down the sidelines between three defenders to set up what would be the decisive touchdown. How about this next line? In retrospect, the win might have served as a sign that the team could compete at a high level without him. The franchise has always been ruthless in its internal evaluation of players. Its scouting reports would shock fans if they could see them, even when it came to Brady, especially when it came to Brady. So a sixth Super Bowl earned him nothing but another difficult negotiation.
Think about that, too. And remember the postgame?
What?
Belichick's rubbing Trey Flowers' head. Three freaking points. We held him to high 3 points. Like,
I think that was Bill's follow-up statement. His follow-up weekend release was that one. Yeah, I just seen him in the Rams game. Could have won that one without him. Yeah, how about the weekend before in Kansas City?
That's
my
thing. Any
thoughts on that game?
Like, this is fresh.
Holy
like that
crap.
That's not 4 years ago.
But two weekends
this
before.
This was last year. Basically, a year ago.
That was 13 months ago.
Yeah.
Almost 14 months ago. That wasn't that long ago.
Just didn't make those throws on third and 12, third and 14. Just didn't make those throws.
Maybe someday.
In those conditions. Maybe. But the question is, how many more wins has Brady helped you get last year, especially last year? If you say the offense is struggling, we know the offense struggled. But I even go back to like that Cincinnati game, hitting to kill Harry on that one, buying extra time on certain throws. If Brady doesn't make some of those throws, you're in jeopardy losing a game to like the Cincinnati.
All right, let's get to some calls. 90 seconds, we'll do the headlines. We'll be right back. We'll go to your calls.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.